So, anyone feel they may have a conflict of interest on any items on the agenda? Hearing done. We need a motion for minutes of December 11th.
Mrs. Brand, I'll make that motion to bring up the meeting minutes of December 11, 2025.
Thank you, Brendan.
I'll second, Glenn.
Thanks, Glenn. Any corrections or to the agenda, or I mean to the December 11th minutes? Hearing none, minutes will stand as read or as written. Financials. Director's report. Jackie?
Thank you, Mayor Osterbeck and Assembly. I do have a report in the packet, and I'll start as usual with the update on the audit. We did have a couple of clarifying questions that were needed in regard to the Sandpoint School deed project. And basically, they needed to make sure they were testing it the right way, since we're not a school district. It was a little bit different reporting requirements that were needed, but all of that kind of worked out. We gave them all the information we had and answered the questions they needed clarified on. And the last update I got this week was that we should be seeing financials this week. So hopefully we'll be done with our audit here in the coming month and they'll have it issued, which is great because this has gone a lot quicker than the last couple of years. I do have a pretty lengthy report on the Alaska Government Finance Officers Association conference in the packet. I'll just briefly go over the useful information that I felt was going to give me some future tasks. Just I would like to just inventory all the grants, do some further research on the CFR, review the Fair Labor Standards Act review that came up because there's some overtime rules that are out now, reviewing the Green Book, preparing for the overtime tax reporting requirements, and just reviewing the new GASBs that are coming out and a couple of the old ones based on classifications, just to make sure that we're all classifying our funds correctly. The holiday break, the routine tasks weren't quite done at the time of preparing this meeting packet and the meeting coming so early in the month, but we've gotten pretty much everything recorded for December already, just waiting on the last receivable data, and everything else has been going pretty smooth. Answer any questions if anyone has any.
Okay, thanks, Jackie. Questions for Jackie? Hearing done. Okay, we need a motion to bring the November 2025 financials to the floor.
This is Brenda. I'll make that motion to bring the 2020 the financial director's report to the floor.
Thank you.
I'll second it. This is Chris.
Thanks, Chris. Annie?
Yes, Mayor Osterbeck and Assembly. In the packet are the November 2025 financials. I really only have two items to point out. On the first page, under 10-004000 for the AEB raw fish tax, we did receive zero fish tax in November of 2025. This is the first time we've had a zero on any financial since 1999. So not great news, but it is the first time since 1999 that this has happened. And then under interest revenue, we're still doing well there. So our, we've got our money allocated is still bringing back some pretty substantial gain there, which is great. As far as the expenditures go, I went through all this morning. There's nothing out of the ordinary here to report. We're tracking on schedule. We're about 41.66% through the fiscal year so far, and there's nothing here that I find concerning or alarming. So with that, if there's any questions, please let me know. Thank you.
Thanks. Any questions for Annie?
I have one. Mayor Osterbeck, Chris here.
Hi, Chris.
The first comment you made about the 00, the first time we've seen it since 1999 is a little bit alarming to me. What has that, I mean, without going into a lot of detail and everything, what was that normally usually when we were seeing fish tax in November?
Yeah, of course I can answer that. So The five-year average for November is typically around $64,000, and the 10-year average has been about $89,000 for the month of November. So there was still something going on. It was either fish processing and or bonuses or something to that effect. So that's the average, $64,000 for the five-year, $89,000 for the 10-year. And yeah, this is the first time we've gotten nothing for a month.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Paul? In the Kodiak paper this week, it mentioned the cod quota, which is going to help our taxes quite a bit this year. And it mentioned in the paper the action of the council because the government shut down. They didn't increase a quota, which they should have in the Gulf. And they may do that February. And the price is up. And so kind of hoping that contributes more to our bottom line. And I know Ernie's keeping track of it. And after the February meeting, we'll see if some of these quotas are adjusted up from what they kind of guessed in December after the government shut down. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks, Paul.
Other questions or comments for Annie? Hearing none, question on the motion?
Paul?
Yes.
Brenda?
Yes.
Glenn?
Yes.
Warren?
Yes.
Jim?
Yes.
Chris?
Yes.
Josie?
Yes.
Samantha?
Yes.
Tom?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Okay, thank you. We have nothing under consent agenda, public hearings, and so ordinances. So our next item on the agenda is resolutions. So before us, we have resolution 2627, supporting geothermal development in Yakutat, Alaska. Motion and a second is required.
This is Chris. I make a motion that we bring resolution 2627, supporting geothermal development and then Yakutat, Alaska, to the table for discussion.
This is Brenda. I'll second it.
Thanks, Brenda. Annie?
Yeah, I'm going to defer to our new executive assistant, Lenora, here. She's going to talk about this one.
Thank you, Mayor Osterbeck and Assembly. Resolution 2627 is supporting geothermal development in Yakutat. Back in December, Fred Brown with the Yakutat Holdings Company reached out to the borough to ask if we would consider signing a joint statement supporting this. The borough recognizes and supports the ongoing efforts to explore and develop renewable energy resources that will benefit the community of Yakutat. And the borough acknowledges the commitment from Trident Seafoods to transition from fossil fuels to renewable energy and encourages continued collaboration among all partners to seek state and federal funding to advance this initiative. When I spoke with Fred last week, he said this joint statement is supported by the Aleut Corporation, Yakutat Corporation, Yakutat Traditional Council, City of Yakutat. And at the time, he said Trident was still reviewing it, but they were most likely going to support it. And he also did mention that APITCA and the Aleut Housing Foundation, Aleut Housing Authority are also looking to support it. They have until mid-January to finalize this joint statement and submit it. And I believe the Aleut Energy has already been in contact with an outfit down in California, and groups in Yakutat have also been in contact with Oregon Institute of Technology, who are all well-suited in the geothermal area. Administration recommends approval of this resolution, and if you have any questions, please let me know.
Thanks, Lenora. Questions for Lenora? Paul?
As everybody knows, the Dutch Harbor geothermal plans kind of really screwed up. And one of the biggest problems they had, I think, was the lease, who actually owns the lease, Dutch Harbor, and it apparently never expires once you get a lease.
that kind of contributed to the problems we're having out there. But in this case, Acatan, who owns the geothermal lease if there is one from the state?
I can ask Fred Brown and get back to you. They didn't provide the draft resolution, the draft joint resolution, so that is also in this packet, but I don't think I've noticed anything about that. But I can ask and I can get back quickly.
Okay, thanks. And I generally support that. I know Acatan in general has been working on this for quite a few years too. The city, I believe. But okay, thank you.
Any other comment?
For everyone, sorry,
go ahead,
Mr. Mayor. For this group to be all trying to get approval for this, is there grant funding or something they think for us to be a group that is hoping that this our source?
Yeah. Failed? Yeah, thank you. I do believe they are going to look for funding through the state and from the feds as well. They would just like support from everybody before they do so.
Okay.
They're not asking for
support. So we all, yeah. Thank you.
Anyone else?
Hi, sorry I'm late. This is Josie in Acatan.
Hi, Josie and Acatan. Do you have any comments on this issue?
I know in the beginning we asked about a conflict, and I wasn't sure if there would be a conflict on my part, as I am the Acatan Corporation president. That's all.
Not unless we use too much of this new electricity, then we'll have to do something. No, there's no conflict.
Thank you.
So do you have any comments on this?
I do. Fred Brown's meeting with the Aleut grant writer tomorrow, I believe, to pursue funding, and we have not heard back on anything with Trident support. They're hoping by, I think he said next month. So we're just looking for letters of support at this time.
So, Josie, do you folks have a range of megawatts that you're looking to produce with if this goes through?
We do. I think I can't remember off the top of my head, but there's a number of different spots that were discussed. You know, the city had pursued this years ago, and then the funding dried up, so the project stopped. But with the ongoing litigation with the McCushion geothermal, a lot of the focus has been shifted towards Acatan and the fumaroles closer to the, I guess, towards the caldera. But the mileage is completely different. You know, I think it's 5 miles from here to there, the wells where it would be, and then versus 15 with the Unalaska and the McCushion. But yeah, I'm not sure. I don't remember the numbers off the top of my head.
But it would probably be enough to power a processor.
Yes.
Okay.
Josie?
You have a comment, Chris?
Yeah. Paul had a question, and you weren't on, and I know Glenor was going to look into it, but Paul had a question as to who owns the land that these wells or these geothermal stuff is on or that they're looking at.
For the majority, the Acatan Corporation owns it, and Aleut.
Yes.
Okay.
Subsurface. Any other comment? Okay. Question on the motion?
Josie?
Yes.
Jim?
Yes.
Warren?
Yes.
Glenn?
Yes.
Paul?
Yes.
Brenda?
Yes.
Chris?
Yes.
Tom?
Yes.
Samantha?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Okay, thank you. So just so everybody I'm sure everybody knows, but since Glenora is now the newly minted executive assistant, we want to congratulate you on getting that position. I think you'll do a good job. So anyway, we will forward from here.
Does your dog have a job too? Dogs in the office once in a while.
Yes, it's quite irritating to people, right?
He's going to be the new security.
There you go.
Okay. So before us, we have Resolution 2628, authorizing the mayor to negotiate and execute a memorandum of understanding between the United States Fish and Wildlife Service, Alaska Region, the United States Army Corps of Engineers, Alaska District Regulatory Division, the King Cove Corporation, the State of Alaska, the City of King Cove, the Aleutians East Borough, the, how do you pronounce that tribe?
Ekdal, I think. Ekdal?
Agdago.
Thanks.
Anyway, that one.
That's the pronunciation.
Concerning coordination and implementation of projects and efforts in the Eisenbach National Wildlife Refuge. We need a motion and a second.
This is Brenda. I'll make a motion to bring Resolutions 2628 to the floor.
Okay. Thank you, Brenda.
This is Josie. I'll second.
Oh, beat me.
Did you say my name? Oh, sorry. Yes, so Resolution 2628 is before you. I'm not going to go through it. There's a lot of names, but essentially there's just the authorizing the mayor to negotiate and execute a memorandum of understanding between all the parties Alvin just, Mayor Osterbach just listed for concerning the coordination and implementation of projects and efforts in the Eisenbach National Wildlife Refuge. The borough has been involved in the King Cove Road project for numerous years. The borough's been working with the United States Fish and Wildlife Service, the Army Corps, the King Cove Corp, the State of Alaska, I'm going to not say it correctly now, but the Ekdal Tribe and the Native Village of Belkovsky on all this, which is considered all of the parties to this MOU. The purpose of this is to establish roles and responsibilities of the parties in coordinating and conferring on activities in the Eisenbach National Wildlife Refuge and in the King Cove Corporation-owned lands that are surrounded by or adjacent to the Eisenbach Refuge, including those lands recently conveyed by patent to the King Cove Corporation and those lands previously conveyed to the King Cove Corporation subject to ANCSCA. So the goals, statement, and purpose and interests, roles and responsibilities, and other aspects of this MOU bill will be vetted further by Borough Administration and the other parties. But we did want to get permission to move forward with this. It's just to memorialize the activities that are already occurring and something that U.S. Fish and Wildlife would like in place. So with that, if there's any questions, please let me know. Thank you.
Again, questions?
Just Paul. Quick, I'm not reading through here, but there's, if you would ask if there's anything new or unexpected in this memorandum of understanding, is there anything that we should be?
No, I think it's pretty standard. And like I said, it's just outlining kind of the actions that are currently occurring.
Thank you.
Other comments? Hearing none. Question on motion.
Chris.
Yes.
Paul.
Yes.
Warren.
Yes.
Jim.
Yes.
Brenda.
Yes.
Josie.
Yes.
Glenn.
Yes.
Samantha.
Yes.
Tom.
Yes.
Okay, thank you. We have no items under old business. Under new business, we have two items. The first one is oil and gas leasing discussion. Annie?
Mayor Osterbach, I'm going to have Ernie discuss this one.
Thank you, Annie. Mayor and Assembly, excuse my voice. The Bureau of Ocean Energy Management has put together a draft proposed oil and gas lease sales plan. It's at the draft stage now, and the comment period ends on January 23rd, which is the reason for this memo. There's no action required, but we do have a recommendation towards the end of the memo. You can see what's up in Alaska by that map presented there, which includes areas around the Aleutians East. There's a link to the plan itself there. There are on the off the coast of California, and then parts of the Gulf of Mexico, Gulf of America. Also, there's some plans. Most of the area is in Alaska. The areas that would impact the Aleutians Borough, of course, are the Shumagin planning area, which would propose lease sale in 2030. And then the St. George Basin is above Akatanada Harbor in 2031, and the Aleutian Arc going all the way out the Aleutians in 2031. The blue area in Bristol Bay used to be called the North Aleutian Basin. President Obama withdrew that for, I don't know, all time, or it's anyway, the current president did not add it back in, which is interesting. The borough in the past had been open to the idea, and we had put together some mitigation plans. And there's a link to those. And at the end of this memo also is a page with the links on it. But we had put together through the NEPA process some mitigation. And they're pretty interesting. And those could probably be easily adapted for if you wanted to put comment in. Also, I'd remind everybody in 2019, the Assembly passed Resolution 1959, which basically opposed the pebble mine. So it's kind of related. If you read through part of the program, this planning process is developing an environmental analysis outside of the NEPA process, and I'm not sure they're doing an analysis, but outside of the regular process. So obviously it would could be some conflicts with fishing and seismic and extreme weather, so there might be some problems. So again, no assembly action is required, but we would recommend maybe a motion that would the mayor would submit comments by the 23rd and maybe exclude any of those areas. I would assume for the Shumagin and maybe St. George Basin and the Aleutian Arc, and if they were going to include them, that they consider our mitigation measures that could easily be adapted. And that's all I have. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Okay, thank you. Comments, questions? Paul?
So technically, we have no requirement to submit any comments at this time. These processes move pretty slow, as most people remember from was at least sale 92 up around St. George and other things. So I'm not sure it's necessary to make any comments at this time. That's just not too wound up about it, in other words. Thank you.
Other comments?
Yeah. Mr. Mayor, yeah, absolutely. People could make their own personal comments, and the how to submit comments is in the memo. If people want to do it personally, if the assembly is not interested. Thanks.
Other comments? Yeah, one of the things the assembly, I don't know how many assemblymen, Paul, I think you were around then. I don't know how many others were around back then, but when they started doing lease sale 92, also the Shumagins in this area at one point was brought up as interest areas for oil industry. But at the time, one of the reasons the Aleutians East Borough was formed was they thought lease sale 92 was going to go through, and they were looking at a couple of areas to build like a Valdez-type facility. It was either in Pavlov or Left-Hand Bay area. So that was one of the things that pushed the borough into existence, I guess, back in the day. So, of course, the borough now is made up of a lot of different voices, but in the past, the the borough supported oil and gas. So it's just something to think about. And I guess during lease sale 92, I did actually spend three seasons working. I salmon fished and spent the rest of my time doing PR work for the oil industry. So I'm kind of pro oil, just so everybody knows. Anyway, and yes, we don't have to, I don't think, take any action at this time. Like Paul says, it's a long process. It goes anywhere. So anyway, any other comments? Okay. Next item is Sandpoint Pool Project Bonding Requirements Discussion. Andy?
Yes. So at the last meeting, which was December 11th, the Assembly did approve Resolution 2626, which authorized the mayor to negotiate and execute a contract with Sandpoint Marine LLC to repair the Sandpoint Swimming Pool in an amount not to exceed $1 million. That was approved. But one of the requirements that the Alaska state statute requires is that contractors awarded state of political subdivision public construction contracts, which the borough is considered one of those political subdivisions. If the contract exceeds $100,000, that they have to furnish a performance and payment bond. Our code also requires these bonding requirements. And just to preface, a performance bond guarantees a project owner and a contractor will fulfill their contractual obligations, protecting them from financial loss if the contractor defaults, goes bankrupt, or fails to complete the work as agreed. This is issued by a surety company, ensures the project gets finished either by finding another contractor or covering costs, preventing costly delays and legal battles for the owner. And the other requirement is a payment bond, which is a surety bond in construction that guarantees a prime contractor will pay all contractors, laborers, and material suppliers, ensuring a lien-free project. It acts as a financial safety net for unpaid parties if the contractor defaults. So those two items are required for projects over $100,000 per Alaska statute. Sandpoint Marine did inform the borough via email that they've been unsuccessful in securing a performance and payment bond for the project. It was determined with each agency that they applied with that due to the fact that Sandpoint Marine LLC is newly established without a job history to report or financials to review, they don't qualify for bonding at this rate. I did engage our attorney, Joe Levesque, to see if there was a way that we could waive this requirement. And he said, no, neither the state of Alaska statutes nor the borough code of ordinances legally authorize awarding a contractor to a contractor who's unable to secure the proper bond requirements. And I did include his memo in the packet for your reference. Just to preface, we're looking at different ways to get this project completed. Mayor Osterbach has spoken to the Jerkoviches about asking the bond company some additional questions to see if they can be bonded in different ways. We're looking at whether the borough can purchase the materials, do force account labor, and other mechanisms, but we're really in the infancy stages on that at this point. All this happened over the holidays and nobody was working, and it was just really difficult to dig into it, but we're at the infancy stages now. But I just wanted you to be aware of the situation and where we're at. And with that, I can take any questions and hopefully be able to answer them.
Questions for Andy? Paul?
Yes, Mr. Mayor, are there any suggestions to move this project forward?
Well, since we just kind of figured this out, that so we've got, There's a couple things that can be done, and we're trying to work on it. I've talked both to Paulo and Christy, and they're talking to like six different bonding agencies, or however you refer to them. And, you know, suggested maybe a couple of things. One is I'm willing to, if it would help myself or Annie, meet them with whether it's electronically or in person with some bonding agency to see if we can figure out some way that the bonding companies would feel all right. The reason that they don't want to do it is because it's a brand new LLC, I guess, company. And people are leery of funding or bonding a new company, which, you know, it's just like you going out and getting your first job. You're running around trying to get a job here because, well, you don't have any experience, so we're not going to hire you. That's kind of where this damn thing is stuck. So we've been talking about it, trying to figure out maybe how, if there is one part of the state law that says if it's a contract for under $400,000, you can get a waiver. So we're looking at different ways to try and structure this and figure it out. Also, talking with the company yesterday, I believe it was yesterday or day before yesterday, they were going to look into seeing if they could find another company that's established and bonded and sub under them. So that's kind of where we are as of yesterday. So I want to get this thing pushed through one way or the other. I don't want just anybody coming in and doing this type of work for us. And I think when the assembly passed the resolution providing the money to do this, it was with the understanding that the people that are looking at doing it for us, everybody's comfortable and trusts them. But I'm not going to trust just this thing going away and just pulling somebody else in that nobody knows. So I'm going to push as hard as I can trying to figure this out. And I've even asked Annie, I said, well, since the state says, yeah, you can't do this, or we could fine you or do something, it's like, well, how big would fine be? I mean, we're not borrowing the money from the state. We're not borrowing the money from federal government. So I'm having heartburn over somebody stopping us from doing something we wanted to do. You know, so one of the things that Annie still needs to check on is, like, say if we did this, she said, well, you know, maybe then they won't insure the pool. You know, the pool's been insured ever since it's been built, right? And then when it failed, we never got a nickel out of it. So it's not like you're risking something. You don't pay anyway. Anyway, I'm having all kinds of heartburn being stopped where we are because how many years we've been at this? 5 or 6 years now? We've had pool experts in here. We've had engineers in here. People have been doing everything that you can think of under the sun, and pool still leak. So now we have a way, I think, that's perfect for us to be able to fix the pool, get it back up and running. And now I run into red tape with the state and with the borough code. So I'm not going to do anything to get us in trouble or anything, but I am sure going to try and figure out a way that we move forward with this. And I trust the company that we're looking at doing the work 100%. So I'm going to keep going after it.
Marshall, can I add something?
I don't.
No, well, just to add, you brought up the insurance, and I did reach out to APRA today. I spoke with someone. They were trying to get me answers. They couldn't answer me. I had called the wrong individual, so they're looking into it and getting back to me. And I also did talk to a construction attorney today at Joe Levesque's office, and there may be a way, maybe the borough could bond, but I have to do more research because he just said that might be a possibility. So I've started all these conversations, but like I said, it's in an infancy stage, and I just don't have enough information at this point in time.
Mr. Mayor, just a quick question. I missed what you said at the first part. What if you hired him on as an employee and it's a repair job for the pool? I mean, aren't we covered that way? Why can't we do it like that if he's just an employee repairing our pool? I mean, we're not buying a new pool. We're just repairing the one that's there that has some issues.
Right.
If he was our employee.
Yeah, there's a whole bunch of issues with that, but that would be called force accounting. You do it with your staff that you have. And it's something we can look at also. I mean, we have been looking at that. We're just not there.
I think it's worth a look. It's 5 years plus.
Oh, no, I'm not saying we're not going to look at anything, but I'm saying, yes, force accounting is one of the first things I ask Danny about. Well,
Yes. Well, we're running, one of the things we're running up against is kind of a, I call it a clock deadline, I suppose, but if we are forced to reach an agreement, we really have to figure this out by our next meeting. And if there's any way around that in order to get the job done this year, and if we wait longer than that, too unpredictable the results. Right now, the contractor's willing to do it. We have time to do it, but we have to act to do it. And like a bunch of people, I did a little research over the holidays, a great way to live. I go do research during Christmas, but there's an act called the Miller Act, federal act, that talks about federal money and federal projects, which just doesn't apply to. And I think the contracting industry pushed that bill through. It was by organized labor help push that bill through. However, there's a little Miller Act, and that's what Mr. Levesque, I think, referred to in this Alaska Statute 36. It's called a Little Miller Act, and every state has one, and they're all a little different. And so looking at those statutes and reading some more, because that's all you can do sometimes, I think there's several ways to solve it, and I have confidence that you'll figure it out and bring it to us by February, and we'll make a final decision so we can get the darn pool. Thank you.
Yeah, but you said you know of several ways.
Yes.
So am I supposed to try and figure that out, or are you going to tell me?
I'll tell you. I don't have to stay at the meeting, but anytime you want to talk.
Well, no, I mean, to me, anybody that has an idea that's going to move this along.
But Chris had an excellent idea. That's one idea. Another idea is just, it's halfway there. Just buy the material. We own the material. We'll always own the material. We just buy the material.
Yeah.
And that reduces the overall amount.
That's all right.
And then nobody decides what a waiver requirement is to do a waiver. We decide that. We're the borough. It's our project. We say this qualifies for a waiver, and we just pass that. We can do that, and who's going to challenge that? Nobody. We're in charge. It's our pool. Anyway, there's other ways of looking at it that would perhaps accomplish your goals.
Actually, one of the ideas that I talked with the company about basically was doing exactly that. Like, okay, maybe you could get bonded if we could reduce the overall cost.
Yes.
So the borough buys all the material and pays all the shipping. That'll take a big chunk of it out. So that's something that we're also looking at after our conversation yesterday. So that's one of the ideas. And I'm waiting to hear back from them. They were going to talk to a couple of companies and see if they could. I asked them, I said, so there's a low percentage that bonding companies charge of the overall project to do the bonding. So to make a bonding company more acceptable to bonding a new company, how about if they raise, like double bonding fee or something? So I've been looking at as assembly members have ideas, email me, text me, call me, or whatever, that we can add into this mix, because I really want to get this done. And I don't think we're going to have a better chance at it than we do right now. Because you're looking at over 5 years of screwing around with this thing, and it's still sitting there. There's a big hole in the ground up there by the school, and it's just not right. We need to get this up and running. And it keeps getting running into red tape. And the other thing is, whatever we decide, we want to make sure, we get a good legal opinion and everything on, because we don't want to wind up getting shut down once we started by the state or something.
One thing I think we should be wary of whenever we ask for a legal opinion, any question involving legality, you can have two sides, one opposing something, one's in favor of it, but our attorney, we would expect them to support decisions we make. That's their job. That's why we hire them. They say, yes, you can do it, and this is how you do it. And that's why we have this attorney, and that's how I expect.
Can we speak here in King Cove?
Hello? Say again.
Hello. Brenda would like to speak, and then I'd also like to speak. This is Chris.
Okay. Yeah, you know, whenever you guys want to speak, you just have to say something.
Well, we were.
Because on my screen, because of this big piece of paper that they got up there, you guys are like the size of ants, so if you raise your hand, I can't see you anyway. Just so you know. But anyway, go ahead.
Okay. So you're talking all these options and different things. And Paul, you said you had several, but I haven't heard any yet. And so I just think that we have to look at the way that we are going to be able to keep our insurance, because what do you do if you start this and then you find out you're not going to be able to insure this after? So I just think it's really important to follow the rules. There's legal, there's illegal.
Well, and Brenda, so two things on the insurance, and I've been talking to Annie about this. It's basically, well, since pool's been insured since day one anyway, as the pool as a structure, and then when it did fail, we didn't get any money, funding, or anything because it failed. So that's one part of the insurance that I've asked Annie to look into. Basically what we call on a boat P&I, right? So you're insuring your crew, or basically you'd be insuring anybody that went into the pool and fell down and hit your head or something like that. So you'd be protected against personal injury. That for sure we have to have. The other one, I'm not so sure we have, you know, if we can't get the other part of it, we paid into it for what, 40 years, we didn't get anything anyway. So really does that matter on that part? But as far as human beings go roaming around in there, yes, we have to have insurance to cover that.
Yes.
Chris here.
Go ahead, Chris.
I know this was, you know, we were all excited last borough meeting, you know, and I brought up when we first started talking to the LLC that was going to do it, you know, that was one of my biggest things was licensed and bonded. And, you know, I was told that, you know, they would have to meet those requirements. And I just, you know, laws are put into effect. I mean, I know there are some laws that, you know, we think are bogus, but laws are put in effect to not only protect us as a borough, but to protect the citizens that will be using that facility also. And I kind of disagree with Paul, and I'm a little bit upset that, you know, he's almost acting like our attorney could just bend the rules because we pay him a salary, and we hire an attorney because we hope that he's going to betray the law in the way that it's written, and so that we don't end up in a lawsuit or things. And so I don't really agree with what Paul said there, that, you know, our lawyers should be on our side and bending the law or, you know, to help us out. I mean, that's why we hire a lawyer, is so that he can go through all this stuff. And I think he did a very good job of going through it and explaining it to us. Maybe this is something that we should have entered in way in advance earlier. And I think, I mean, I'm all for the pool, and I realize it's been gone for 5 years and we need something, but I think we put the cart before the horse, and I think we should have researched this a little bit more. But I mean, to ask our lawyer or something to, you know, well, you know, can we bend the law here? Can we bend the law there? I just don't agree with that. So thank you.
Yeah, I didn't see it the same way. I don't think he's asking us to bend the law. And I think the attorney that we have is there to protect the borough, not us as individuals, but protect the borough, which I think he's doing a good job of. So the other part, until the holidays happened here, nobody knew that they were going to have a problem getting bonding. When they first emailed us and said, hey, we ran into a problem, and they went to six different companies, and because this is a new LLC for them, that's kind of what caused the problem. So we've been kind of dealing with that. Now, after the holidays, everybody's back at work over again. So, So there was no putting anything in front of anything else. It just the way it came up.
I got one more comment.
I think we're going to find, I'm hoping, pretty sure we're going to, we got to get through this and find a way to do it.
I got one more comment here, kind of on what Glenn was bringing up. Is there a way that this can be done in phases to maybe help break up some of that 1 million? I mean, I agree with the borough, if we can, to purchase the materials, get them up here, pay the freight, all that, and just look at maybe paying, you know, hours or whatever. But is this something, and I know we want this pool done, you know, yesterday. And I think Paul asking for something by next meeting is kind of out there. I mean, we shouldn't be just, you know, trying to do something overnight. You know, we've got research that we have to do, and I appreciate what you and Annie are doing. But is there a possibility, and I don't know, maybe this is something you could look into, maybe do it in phases to kind of help offset some of that $1 million. Also, I don't know. I mean,
well, that's one of the main things we're doing right now is working with them, trying to figure out, and actually the last email came through this morning. So, I mean, we're basically right in the middle of this thing is, okay, how can we reduce this down to where we can be covered by a waiver, or what do we get to break out? What could we put could we put part of it into a bonus? So we're looking at all the different avenues to break this down to get it in underneath the requirements that the state has right now. Plus looking at trying to find a larger company that's already bonded to put this new LLC under them as a sub for this particular contract.
But if we can get them in
as a sub under another contractor, then we don't have any of these problems.
I don't want the administration to feel that they have to come back at the next meeting and say, okay, we drafted up another contract. If that happens, that's awesome. But I don't want you guys to feel that you have to rush into something and cut corners and things because somebody said, well, we want it at the next assembly meeting. I want something to come before the assembly that we can pass as an assembly and know that it's going to go on, and we're not going to have to come back and relook at it again like we've had so many times with what's going on right now. So,
oh no, we'll bring back updates if we have any updates, or give you guys updates on it. But yeah, there's no sense us bringing it back until we've got something that we can put ink to and what's going to work.
Thank you. That's all I got. Thank you.
Thanks, Chris. Anybody else?
Yes.
Paul?
Yeah, and as everyone knows, the borough insurance through an AMLGIA, Joint Insurance Association. And so we're kind of like self-insured. And Gary Henning wasn't on the board. He isn't now, I don't believe. But he was on the board. So anyway, we make the rules on what's insured and what isn't, kind of. But a lot of experts that help guide us when we apply for that insurance. So I don't see insurance being any kind of a problem with the law, as you mentioned earlier. And what you did mention about being a partner on the bonding requirement somehow with the bonding, I think that's a good idea, too.
Yeah. And it's one that we've been looking at.
Yeah,
but we just wanted you guys to know, you know, where we're at on this thing, and everything is on the table right now, and we've got to figure it out. And as this, you know, the days go by here, and somebody wakes up in the middle of the night and they go, hey, what if they did this? Let me know, and we'll look at it. But I don't want you to think we found five different ways that says we can't do it. So this is out the window. Come back next year and we'll look at it again. We're going to get it done, hopefully.
Janet, thanks for the update.
Yeah.
That's where we're at.
Yeah. So.
Thank you, me too.
Thank you, buddy.
Anyway, any other comments on this issue? I know this is something that I was going full speed ahead on this. We were going to have this pool up and running come October. Kids would be able to use it. Us old people, would be able to go in there and paddle around on one end. And maybe even someday somebody will teach me how to swim. But anyway, we can't do it until we fix the damn pool.
Can still happen.
Okay. If there's no other comments, we're down to reports and updates. Annie, would you like to give us a report on the pool?
All right. My report is in the packet. First off, I'll start with the Cold Bay Dock. There was a virtual public hearing held on December 16th. Borough administration did submit a public comment per the assembly's direction, approving a motion to support the option of a wave barrier and the preferred alternative design. I do believe that DOT, PND, and the others that were present have taken comments into consideration. There were quite a few, so there's more to come on the Cold Bay Dock. Sandpoint Harbor Float Project is still moving forward. The substations have arrived in Sandpoint. Now the electricians are waiting for a weather window and flights to go out there and install those. They did find a vessel big enough to help move those things. They weigh about 500-700 pounds, I think, each. They're quite heavy. So they're going to get those installed. And then the plan is early spring, March timeframe for Western Marine Construction to go out there and finish off the checklist items that need to be completed. And then we are still working on looking into purchasing a portable fire pump. And we just issued a RFP, a request for proposals to Western Marine to give us back to look into those. And if they get me back something, I'll probably have something before the assembly at the February meeting so we can get that purchased as well. The deed project over the break, and this is for the Sandpoint School, there was quite a mess, if you will. Alvin, I don't remember if it was before Christmas or before New Year's. It was right before one of the holidays. We found out that the vapor barrier that was left on the roof got blown off, and it was basically raining inside of the building. They have since addressed those issues and are continuing to fix some of the damage. They state, UIC states, it wasn't as bad as it looked, but that was a problem, and UIC is working on that. Now, we did issue finally one of the change orders in the amount of $165,275, which still falls under the amount you have authorized administration to spend. So we've got that for light controllers, tile, like a tile credit back to us, locker rooms. They are actually going to be putting in new flooring in the hallway and the lockers as well. So that's all kind of in the process of proceeding. They are behind schedule. Currently, they say they'll be done at the end of March. We'll see. But they are working back on it. Now that the holiday is over, they're back in full force to work on that. Other school items, we've got some false pass roof repairs. I'm in the process of trying to finalize an agreement with Bering Sea Services to go out there and fix the roof if they do that. And Tom, you probably want to maybe tell Nikki that that will be done no later than the end of March to come out there and do the roofs. We also were informed over the break that the boiler went out. I think it ran out of fuel. So that's off. And right now they've got the Toyo stove running, and we have a contractor going out that was going out anyways to do some additional work, going out in the next week or so to go and address those issues as well. So we're going to get that school back up and running. But once again, it's really hard with the weather and the lack of flights. We really are having a hard time getting people moved around. And then we did have the Sandpoint boilers inspected in the school, the office, and the fourplex, and that work was completed in early December. So we're trying to keep up on all that. I do have someone scheduled to go out to Cold Bay to finish the additional work for the terminal for the boiler there. And so, Lori, if you guys need boiler work, they're coming out. So just contact me if you need anything there, because they'll be there anyways. And then we still have the Accutan school, I think, that still needs some additional work. So we're cranking those out. We did get the fire alarm, annual fire alarm extinguisher and sprinkler inspections done at the Cold Bay Terminal in December as well. They also completed some additional deficiency work that was identified the prior year. So all of that work should be updated, which is great. So we're 100% in compliance for the terminal facility. The King Cove Road, when I wrote this on December 22nd, kind of a lot has happened. So I have some more information on the King Cove Road. So I'm going to just read this to you guys. But basically, the litigation is moving forward smoothly and quickly. The three plaintiff groups, which is the Friend of the Refuge, the Defenders of Wildlife, and Hooper Bay, with King Cove Corporation and the federal defendants, which includes the Secretary of Interior, U.S. Fish and Wildlife, and some other governmental officials, have worked out a proposed case management agreement for the court to consider. The agreement would relieve our side of the obligation to submit an answer to the plaintiff's very lengthy complaints, and the opening plaintiff's opening debrief or briefs would be due on February 20th. Our side's opposition briefs would be due March 23rd, and the plaintiff's reply would be due on April 6th. So it's really expediting the process for that, for the litigation, which is working in our favor since they are hoping to actually start construction this early spring, summer timeframe. The Corps of Engineers is circulating the state's road construction permit request for public comments. And although there will be weather challenges that are likely to cause delay, our optimistic best case scenario is that the road construction starts mid-May of 2026. If we can complete the summary judgment process and get a decision before then, we may be able to avoid litigating injunction relief motions from plaintiffs that cause needless cost and delays. So I just wanted to provide that information to you. It's exciting. It's moving a lot faster than expected in regards to the litigation. Other than that, just a reminder that the strategic planning meeting will be held on March 11th here in Anchorage. We have the APIA building space that we've been using in the past booked for that meeting. So it's March 11th. And then we'll have the assembly meeting on March 12th. So with any questions, or if there's any questions, please let me know. Thank you.
Randy? Paul?
Yeah, a couple. Annie, at the beginning of your memo, you mentioned the COVID doc. The comments you provided, were they written comments or verbal comments?
I provided written comments via the portal. That's how they want the comments submitted.
And maybe you could forward a copy of those just so we have them, so we don't say anything contradictory to what. So we're all on the same page, I guess. That would be great. I was kind of hoping to have a summary of how many people actually showed up at the meeting. Did anybody listen? Maybe somebody could give a quick report on. I was unavailable. I made the first one. I did not make that meeting. Just don't know how many people testified or what the atmosphere was like.
We get that for you.
And sorry, if I remember right, weren't they going to put that information on a website or something?
Yeah, I think it's there already.
Yeah. So maybe we can get the link to the website.
Yeah, and the link's right there on my report. So if you click that, that takes you to the website.
Oh, that'll give you all of the things.
And then the second comment I had on this deed contract and the school update. I know for a while we were told November, first week in November, the project would be done. Of course, I think it's past November, but I drove by the school and they were on the roof a couple of days ago when it was blowing 40, trying to fix that membrane. But I guess the question would be, how firm do you think this date of February and March that you mentioned in your memo is for completion?
Oh, I don't think that's firm at all. I couldn't tell you when, though, but I don't think they'll meet the March deadline.
August.
Maybe August. It's going to be at the end of the school year.
Yeah.
They're behind. And part of the reason, too, is every time they've opened something, there's been some problem that we couldn't see. So it's just like another change order. And as we keep adding these change orders, the time keeps getting longer. So it's not all their fault, but they are behind schedule. But I do not think it will be done in March. I think they'll have the locker rooms done by March, and I think to have the lockers and the hallways done by March. So at least the school and traveling sport teams can at least use the locker rooms and stuff. I do think those will be done.
And, you know, after when they had that membrane on top of the roof after they tore it up and we got that rainstorm, I went up there and we did a bunch of pictures and stuff and sent out to our engineers and to Annie and showing the leak. And the leak is over some of the new funding and whatever they had done in there. So our inspector is coming out as soon as he can get a seat on our weakest link in the chain. The receipts become available to go through this because I want to make sure this is all documented properly and doesn't cause problems in the future.
Yeah, tell him to check with Glenn. Glenn knows how to get out here.
Yeah. Yeah, how's that working out for you, Glenn?
Yeah, real well. Another week I got pushed back, so.
Okay. Other questions for Annie on her report?
Mr. Jim.
I have a question on the harbor, the new harbor. Last meeting we had, there's extra money. Would that be able to be used for like the wall? That wall, there's like some of the piling are breaking loose, but and also to the surface, maybe, you know, that gravel area. But another question, would it be able to be used for the water line that we were having trouble with?
So, unfortunately, well, we won't have enough money to do all that. What we're looking at using the money for currently is some more ladders, some aluminum ladders that have the, I don't even know the right terminology, so Alvin, correct me, but it's got that grippy material, the non-slip material. So we're going to get 10 more of those to put on the main side of the harbor or the float that people will use. And then we're going to get a portable fire pump because we need to be in compliance with the fire marshal. And currently we're not. So we need to get one of those. So that's what we're planning on using the additional funds for.
All right, thanks, Eddie. I thought it was like $4 million. That's where.
Oh, no.
It's like an extra $400,000. It's not. It's not in the millions.
If there was pipe in the ground, you know, we were looking at. We had talked to Mayrad about fixing the water line that was already there. But then when we found out there was no water line in there, that would have. That they wouldn't do that because that would have had been something that was written in the grant.
Yeah. Some of my mind for a large number of extra dough there. Yeah. So sorry, I was thinking coming up with some ideas for it.
Other comments?
Yes, I do, if I may, it's Tom.
Go ahead, Tom.
I guess for Annie. She said the end of March. Was that for just for the roof, Annie?
Yeah, for the roof, the Bering Sea would get that work done by the end of March. As far as the boiler goes, I'm hoping they'll get out there next week, but it sounds like there's no flights. So as soon as they can get out there, they were supposed to ship the materials out this week. Of course, that's flight dependent. And then as soon as those arrived, they were going to book flights. But because the flights are so delayed, and from what you're telling me, I might just have them book it, and then they can reschedule if needed, just so they have something. So, yeah, the boiler folks will be out there earlier, Tom. It's just right now trying to get them there.
Okay. The monitor is not keeping the building warm. When the kids come home from school, I have them to my house sometime for lunch, and they're shivering. It's cold in that building, so it's pretty important.
Yeah, no, we're on it.
I don't know, and Tom, has anybody went up there and checked? Like, they said it ran out of fuel was the original reason it was down. If they filled the tank, has anybody gone up there and trying to restart the boilers? I know we don't have anybody there, but...
No. I was actually there with some of our public works people. Is it on?
Yeah.
Oh, and it's a bigger issue than just running out of fuel. They have a, like a water reservoir that the teacher had tried to like kind of troubleshoot himself at first, and it had filled the water reservoir, but there was a big leak under one of the boilers. Is just a bunch of liquid. I don't know what it is, but the water reservoir had depleted in a couple of days. So like there's a bigger issue than just if they did run out of fuel. He didn't want us to try to troubleshoot it because we're not boiler technicians, since there's something on the books for somebody to come check it. But yeah, we had somebody over there, but the teacher would rather it get fixed right and figure out what's happening with the system.
Okay, that's good to know. Thank you. Other questions? Okay, thank you, Addie. So, Lenora, for your first reporting, go ahead.
Thank you, Mayor Osterbeck and Assembly. I have a report in the packet. I'll start off with the APRA training and inspections. The borough participates in a loss control incentive program through APRA, our insurance, which we used to be insured by AMLJIA, but they merged last year with another company creating this APRA. And by participating in this loss control incentive program, we can earn a percentage back on our annual contribution. I believe it's around 20%. So that's nice. One component of this program is online safety training through Target Solutions. Each borough employee must complete 8 hours of training for the borough to qualify for this discount. Another one of the ways that they can get hours towards this 8 hours is by joining the monthly APRA safety meetings. You can get it's a 30-minute meeting each month, and you can get half hour of training towards that time of yours. So that's a great way to earn more hours. And then another requirement for this is completing self-inspections for each borough-owned building or infrastructure that's valued over a certain dollar amount. I believe we have 10 inspections that we have to do, and I have 8 out of the 10 available, and I'm still working with other folks in the region to get the other 2. Once I have them, I will meet with our consultant to go over items we may need to fix or address soon. Moving on to the Accutan helicopter operations. Back in November, I coordinated with Trident, Coastal, Matson, and Delta Western to transport the borough tank from Accutan to Unalaska to get Jet A fuel. This was a big learning process for me because a lot of the folks that I've worked with were either new to the job or new to the department that is in charge of this. Everyone was super friendly and understanding. It was actually really nice to work with everyone. Can't wait to do it again. but the tank arrived back in Accutan around December 13th, full of fuel, which is great. Deep Tree Inc. Is our new IT provider. The borough has fully transitioned from ICE over to Deep Tree in November, and we received our final invoice from ICE shortly after. ICE is still covering several software subscriptions for the boroughs, but once all of those expire, DeepTree will take over the responsibility, I believe. Most of those subscriptions ended at the beginning of this month, with one more ending in May. And then I will be scheduling quarterly meetings with DeepTree to review any IT maintenance needs and potential tech improvements for the borough. I also wanted to mention that the borough transitioned from Barracuda Networks to SOFO's email gateway, and this is just an email security system, and it's just to continue to protect against spam, phishing, malware, and other email threats. Since SOFO is so new to us, you may notice that some of the emails that you are getting quarantined are with folks that you've previously interacted with before. You can hit release email, and future emails should be delivered to your email box. But I was just informed the other day that if you're getting bulk emails from somebody you've already released from quarantine, it will still get captured in the SOFO's email system. So I am working with DeepTree to figure out how to stop that. And then I apologize for not letting assembly members know about this sooner. I just slipped my mind. So thank you for those who have reached out asking about it. Some other items. I attend quarterly A-team meetings. I missed the last one due to a scheduling conflict, but I was able to email in some updates about the borough. I did publish an article, an in-the-loop article last month highlighting all of the projects that Nelson Lagoon has completed, which is pretty cool. There's a link in my...
Was it the attachment that
actually
got dropped off here on
the 21st?
Or goals from Saturday?
It was here.
Hey. Somebody
needs to mute. Okay. I can mute them. I don't know if I can.
They said they thought they left it.
Is it getting cold?
It's false pass.
Hey, Tom.
I muted them.
Oh, never mind.
Never mind. Where was I at? So I published an in-the-loop article about Nelson Lagoon. They completed a lot of really cool projects this past year. There's a link in my article if you'd like to read it. A link in my report if you would like to read it. And then I'm looking for other topics to write about. So if you have something, please let me know. I'm working with Chris, who is with CERC, to learn the maintenance connection program. And this program essentially helps the borough score higher when we apply for deed grants because it keeps track of all of the school needs and projects. I haven't met with Chris in a while because we've both been busy, or he is located down in Juneau. And as you guys all know, they got hit with the snow. So he's trying to make sure his roof doesn't collapse. So we're hopefully starting to meet again next week. And I'm also looking to order new borough jackets for staff and elected officials. I sent out an email last month, and I believe Beverly sent another one out this morning. So if you haven't gotten back to me yet with the size and option you'd like, please do so. Also, if you do not want a jacket, please let me know that as well. And then I'm looking for catering suggestions for our March strategic planning session. I really like Qdoba last year. If I don't get any suggestions, I'll probably order from there again. And then lastly, Beverly emailed out the local elected officials handbook last month after a request from an assembly member. And we are also printing and mailing hard copies. Unless you're in one of the communities with a borough office, I see there are some on the table in King Cove, so that's great. And then folks in Sandpoint, you can pick up a handbook in Sandpoint. Everyone else, you can expect one in the mail from me here in Anchorage. And that is it. If you have any questions, please let me know.
Thank you, Glenora. Questions, Glenora? Paul?
And just a quick one, Glenora. The deep tree, I just Googled them while you were talking about them, but they have an office in Montana, Palmer, and Wasilla. So which office are we dealing with? We deal with deep tree.
Hopefully,
okay. So their main office is here in Alaska. It's located in Wasilla, but they do have an office right down the street from us. They're like walking distance from our Anchorage office, so we can get help from those folks in there.
Okay, good. I'm glad they're close. Thank you.
Yeah, of course.
Other comments?
Good report.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, thank you. Next, we have Beverly Ann, the clerk.
Thank you, Mayor Osterbach and Assembly. My report's in the packet. It's a very short one. It's also the records. In May of 2018, the Assembly passed Resolution 1836, a resolution regarding records retention schedule. And in the resolution, it says records that are not considered permanent shall be disposed of in accordance with the approved general retention schedule. Records of a confidential nature shall be disposed by shredding or burning. The records manager shall maintain a permanent log of all destroyed records, and the borough clerk shall report a detailed description of the records records destroyed to the assembly annually. So with that, I attach included a detailed description of the obsolete and destroyed records from Anchorage, King Cove, and Sandpoint offices. And if you have any questions, please let me know. So those are the records that have been destroyed after retention.
That's it?
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you, Beverly. Questions from Beverly?
Lots of
Okay, thank you. Ernie, you're up.
Mr. Mayor, thank you. Again, my voice, apologies. North Pacific Council, the first week of February, they meet at the Egan Center. The big item is the final action on the pollock bycatch of chum salmon. They'll take final action. If you were looking at the rulemaking docket on regulations.gov, when they closed the comment on Monday, there were 617 comments. There's going to be a lot of AYK folks at this meeting giving comment. I'll be giving comment in support of pollock communities such as ours that are highly dependent. The SSC and council are also going to take up specs for Cook Inlet salmon. And as Paul mentioned, they will also be reviewing the PCOD specs and hopefully set new ones based on the best available information. Board of Fisheries, next week, Bristol Bay Finfish proposal will be considered at the Egan Center. I will be giving a report for the Anchor JC that I'm on, and I'll also be testifying in support of Proposal 188 because there's too much going on at the next meeting in February on salmon. So I just wanted to get it out of the way at next week's meeting in February. If you can come and have good testimony come, I would encourage those in the borough that can come out for the Alaska Peninsula Aleutian Islands Chignik Finfish meeting. It's going to be a tough meeting, so we're going to need all the help we can get. There is a block of rooms special rate at the Captain Cook that I have not put out publicly yet. I'm just about to. It's been given to the fishing organizations, but we're going to go public with it because I don't want to eat those rooms. It would be a big expense to our budget. That's what we're gearing up for, is the salmon meeting in February. And then the statewide finfish meeting in March also has some proposals concerning trawling in state waters. That'll be important too. That's what I have there mostly. Last meeting, you guys passed Resolution 2625. We are just about at the end of this process to have an agreement with the city of St. Paul. As you remember, if we did not sign, have an agreement with them, that northern region crab wouldn't get processed. Trident wouldn't have an opportunity to process other crab. It's that crab cannot be processed anywhere else unless there's an exemption contract, which we were not a part of the exemption contract, but we did have to do an MOA with the city. Seems like there was some misunderstandings about that, but there was no other way. If we didn't sign it, it would be not good for Trident at all, and it would be less tax revenue for us in the long run. And then I made an assumption, which was wrong, since we didn't have any fish on the fish tax chart there. I assumed there was going to be no fish tax in December. Today we just received some fish tax, so excuse me. If you look at the 2025 bar graph, there's three big chunks: the red, the dark blue, and the light blue. The red is pollock. That part of the bar graph would be a little bit higher, and that's pollock, and the dark blue is pecod, and then the light blue is salmon. And I just wanted to show how it was changed. I was really looking to see how halibut has gone. It's gone down to next to nothing. But those are always our big three, is pollock, cod, and salmon. The three of the four local ACs have set up Zoom or in-person AC meetings for next week. Sandpoint has yet to set up their AC meeting. And there's a lot of other meetings, especially next week. So there's some overlaps that I'm not going to attend. Hopefully Charlotte and I will be able to cover them all. And I don't have a voice left, so thank you.
Okay, questions for Ernie? Paul?
Yeah, just Ernie, I have two quick questions, or maybe questions. the mayor first, but the Board of Fish meeting in February, which is important, as you mentioned, but what's the borough doing to maximize participation? And we usually do something, maybe refresh our memory on how we're trying to maximize participation in February.
Well, we've got, I forgot what it is. Ernie, is it like $30,000?
Something like that.
So we'll do like we normally do, you know, we'll help on airfare rooms, whatever, for whatever people we can. And to me, the first one should go, or what I always want to see is people that have boots on the ground, people that actually fish. I don't want a bunch of, you know, people that are not in the industry somehow out there testifying. To me, it's always if they ask questions, if you're not in the fishery.
Mr. Mayor?
Yeah, go ahead.
And so we haven't finished the process, but I am at least planning to use part of our budget to go to the two fishing organizations, Camp and the Ariam Saners. We haven't finalized that, but they are both, you know, real important to this process. So we'll be supporting them as well.
Right. You know, and then we're going to pick up the cost of, well, Bernie's been working on it. So like he said, he's setting up the rooms at the Captain Cook, which had a reduced rate. That's going to help. Then also we'll have war rooms and whatever at the meeting that the borough's going to pay for. And coffee, right?
Coffee, yes. In the morning, anyway.
Yes. So, and I think the way we've done it in the past is people that have an interest, they contact you, Ernie?
Yes, or you.
Yeah, either or. That's right. Okay. Another
question. Today in the paper, several news outlets reported that Senator Sullivan and Senator Whitehouse from Rhode Island have introduced the Fish Act, which I couldn't quite figure out. A lot of people already endorsed, a lot of Alaskans have endorsed it. It looks like a rehash of just about bycatch and unreported fishing, and it looks like a rehash of old bills, but do you have any insight on what the language is of this Fish Act? I couldn't find the language.
Yes, I looked it up. So it was co-sponsored by Lisa Murkowski, introduced by Senator Sullivan. The language, you know, almost the title of the bill basically has all the language. They don't have the language of the bill published yet. I'll tell you, but you're right. It would fund stuff for reducing bycatch, mostly in Alaska, Bering Sea, and Gulf of Alaska.
Okay, because it was a little unclear, but the UFA endorsed it, the crabbers endorsed it, the trollers from Sitka endorsed it, Yukon River area places endorsed it. In fact, everybody endorsed it. Her name wasn't there anywhere. However, it did mention bycatch, and that was about it. So, yeah, thank you for clarifying that.
Yeah, technology supports research and bycatch reduction, mostly in Alaska fisheries.
And Ernie, I have a question. So I just read a little thing in the, I don't know if it was in X or something, but so the president is suggesting or wants to do a cut to NOAA's budget, which probably would affect us up here as far as research and that type of thing. Have you read that, or did we? I don't even know if we've made comments on that yet.
Well, there have been cuts to NOAA, but I don't know of any new ones coming up. I don't know. Charlotte may address it in her, but no, I haven't seen anything new.
Yeah, so if you get a chance, maybe look for that, because it was basically the whole, he wanted to do, I don't know what it is, 20% cut to NOAA budget or something?
I will look into that.
Yeah. Other comments or questions? He's still got a little voice left, you guys.
I like Ernie's new voice.
But yeah, I was wondering who that was. Who's that guy? That's movie star.
Sound like Paul.
Okay. Thank you, Ernie. We'll let you off. So, Charlotte.
Yes, thank you, Mayor Osterbach and Assembly. My report is in the packet. I'll just note that I was on annual leave the 18th through 26th for the holidays, so my report's a little bit late, but I'll kind of go through the projects. So for COD tagging, still working up those tech memos and hoping to have them sent for review and publication pretty soon here. We got a little delayed with the shutdown, but we're getting back up to speed with that. I'm also working on the grant report, or just our regular quarterly grant report that'll be coming due this next month. On that, I would just note that I've been having a lot of conversations with NOAA, with council staff, with fishermen about how to kind of move this forward on the policy front. And I think, and I said that I would report back, and so I think the best approach for anybody who's interested in kind of bringing this up would be to testify at the upcoming February meeting under the COD stock assessment agenda item. Pete Holson, the stock assessment author, has already, and I put this in previous packets, but has already presented at the last groundfish plan team on some potential alternatives for COD management in Alaska. And even though those have been published, there hasn't been like a clear path forward. And I think it's going to be important that the SSC and sort of the scientists, the center, hear directly from stakeholders about their interest in seeing this move forward. And hopefully, you know, I don't think the council would take this up because it's really a stock assessment issue. It needs to come from the Alaska Fishery Science Center, but it would be very helpful for them to get some encouragement directly from stakeholders. I've talked to some fishermen who are Johnny on the spot, and they're going to start calling people up. Tom, I'm sure you're going to be getting a call pretty soon here for those who want to testify remotely. And I'm happy to help with any of that. Moving on, I don't have any updates on the acoustic stuff right now. For salmon tagging, I am still working on the case report that I'm hoping to have submitted to the journal, of course, before the meeting. And I'm also working on the fish and game resource permit that's required for that project. And unfortunately, they require a more comprehensive report 6 months after a research project. So I'm kind of having to write both at the same time. But I'll have that available at the next meeting. Board of Fish, of course, is kind of the big thing that's on everybody's mind right now. I'm working on a few different things. There's a human interest article about a local fisherman and just a piece about how fisheries are kind of interwoven in our region and sort of touch every aspect of people's lives. It's not anything beyond getting to know people in our region, getting to know fishermen, and sort of dispelling this narrative that, you know, the people in our region are some big, bad commercial guys. They're just local folks trying to make a living. So that's what that's about. Also, you guys might have heard that Fish and Game has recently published the full chum genetic study from 22 to 24. So I've been going over that, highlighting some key points. And trying to compile a report. Although I would say that I'm trying to coordinate as much as I can with the Sanders Association and CAMP, because I know they also have contracted several people who are working on similar stuff, and we're trying to avoid overlap and kind of duplicating efforts. So I think Steve Reifenstuhl is also working up that genetics report. I'm also working on the comment letter that would kind of cover the adaptive management program and all of the stats that we have for the 4 years that that's been in place. And that would be submitted as public comment. Also, another big time consuming task for Board of Fish is always just like collating data and trying to get everything updated and make that information available to stakeholders. So I'm kind of always working on that, working with the department to get updated data. I would note that I think the the organizations in the region have been very proactive in working on a strategy. And so, you know, I think at some point they'll probably reach out and kind of talk about what they're doing. But I'm pretty sure the Saners Association have been meeting. I think they've hired a PR firm again that they did the last time, who's helping to reach out to folks in the region and help get comment letters submitted. I'm pretty sure Trident has also hired Lena Hoblet, who is helping to reach out to the tribes and to kind of get everybody on the same page. The Aleut Corporation has been very involved with op-eds and trying to get the word out about just the people in our region and their involvement in fisheries. I did want to make a quick note because it was brought up. There was a different op-ed that was recently published by two legislators regarding SB 161 and the companion bill that seeks to shut down trawling in statewide fisheries. So with the mayor's permission, I'm working on a response op-ed that kind of dispels some of the misinformation in that article. I think there's a bit of confusion that's been written in that article that shutting down state waters will somehow shut down industrial factory trawlers. But I think the folks who really stand to lose the most in shutting down state water trawl fisheries is actually just under 58 foot local fishermen in our region who really rely on the parallel fisheries to execute pollock and cod. So kind of working on that right now, been working with the department to get some more refined information about vessel size harvest in state waters, which I think is just, it's not publicly available, but it is public data. And so they provided that, which is very interesting to look at. Other than that, I'm doing my very best to do the insurance trainings that Glenora has put together for us, and I swear I'm going to get them done. Just want to say congratulations to Glenora. She is just amazing, and we're so lucky to have her. I'm happy to take any questions.
Okay, thank you. Questions for Charlotte? Okay, did good report. So we are down to assembly comment. Not everybody at once.
Hey, Mr. Mayor, this is Josie.
Go ahead, Josie.
Hi, I just wanted to say thanks to you and the assembly for signing on with the joint statement, and congratulations to Glenora.
Okay. Other comments?
One quick one, Glenn here, and again, congratulations, Glenora. But I just want to double down on this pool thing. I know you guys are working hard on it, but let's just push this as hard as we can, because at the best, we're looking at October, so that could be another year out again on the pool. So thanks again. I'm stuck in Anchorage for another week.
No, we're definitely going to push on this pool. Actually, this is causing me sleepless nights. I have been sending Annie emails like at midnight saying, "Hey, what about this?" So yeah, I want to get this done. Anyone else?
Yes.
Bob Albert.
Oh. Okay, go ahead, Chris.
Hey, I sent the letter to you and Annie through Beverly, just some of the concerns that I've been hearing from some of the borough people that live within the borough, kind of about this deal we entered in with Trident and processing the crab from St. Paul. And I know I see something in Ernie's report, but is there something that maybe could be put out to explain this a little bit more? Because I've had a lot of people, you know, why are we helping a community that's in the same situation as King Cove, but yet we're not seeing anything being done within King Cove? So I know we talk about being transparent, and I'd like to see something maybe put out explaining the whole how this process all came to be. I mean, we all understand it as a borough, as borough members within the assembly, but I think if we put something out for all the communities to be able to see, it'll show us that we are transparent and we are trying to do what's best for the borough. So thank you.
I'll let Annie, answer that.
Yeah, no, I'm in receipt of that email as well as the one from Carter, and those came in at the holiday time. So I am working on that, and we plan on getting something out in response to both letters soon. I can't give an exact deadline just because there's a lot going on, but yes, we will have a response sent out.
Oh, and I thank you. I do apologize. I didn't realize that you were on annual leave, and so, but I do appreciate you looking at those, both you and Alvin. So thank you.
Yeah. Other comments, Assembly? Jim?
Oh, wait, Paul was. Sorry, Paul. You had already gone. Okay. I just want to say thank you, Lauren, for moving up and taking another position. I think you can do great. And I'd like to wish us all luck on this school project. I'm sure it's going to. Elvin's going to lose more sleep before it's over, but it's going to be a bit of a nightmare, but yes, we're in it. Over, obviously. Look.
Paul?
I just want to the board fish meeting in February from Saturday, and it's appreciate what the staff's trying to do, get everybody together, and I think it's going to be one of the toughest meetings we've had for a while. And just spend a little time talking about it. Encourage everybody to use all the resources and connections they have, ensure maximum participation. I think it's going to be a tough meeting. Thanks.
Okay, thank you. Other Assembly? Okay. All right. And it's / mayor comments, so I have a mayor comment. So the first one is just kind of update everybody a little bit. Essential Air Service, which I've been bringing up just about every meeting. So we are working on putting together a little plan to go forward to attack this problem that we have needing Essential Air Service. And we don't have to go through all the things of we need it because it's so expensive to fly out here. It's causing a lot of problems in our communities. People are not able to travel. But anyway, just so you know, it is in the works, and I have actually Glenora is kind of heading this up now. So as we put this together, we're going to go forward with all the community. So we'll have updates on that later, but that is still in the works, and hopefully we'll be successful in getting the price of tickets down for everybody. The other one is, and I'm really happy with this one, is if Just to refresh everybody, people that started new with the borough, Annie, which was, 16 years ago or whatever, when she came on to the borough, she worked her way up. Now she's the borough administrator, which is great. And then Charlotte came on, and as she got her schooling done, whatever, she moved into the position that she holds now in natural resources and does a great job. Everybody is very happy that we brought her on and she's there. And then Glenora came on and now she's moved up into her new position that she's in now. So it shows, I think, when we hire people on, they stay, we have longevity, and we have really good employees all throughout the borough. So I'm really happy with that. So thank everybody that's employed by the borough for the work that you do. And with that, any public comments at this time?
This is Carter here in King Cove.
Go ahead.
Yes, I was just wondering, I sent the letter to the assembly. When will they be getting that? Or when will they be receiving that? Because it was for the assembly.
Received that letter last Friday.
Oh, that's the one. Okay, yeah. So that letter came in, and I think they answered you and gave you the, you know, how things are processed when it comes in. And one of the things I think right off the bat was it was after packet was.
Yeah, it was after the packet, and he was requesting for it to be added to the for this meeting, which is the deadline has passed. And I responded to your email. I'm not really sure if you saw that response, but the letter that you sent was forwarded to our administrator and Mayor Alvin Osterbach.
Yes, correct. But I was asking for the letter just to be forwarded to the assembly in general. I wasn't asking for it to wait for the meeting. I think the matter of which letter is in regards to is pretty urgent. So I really want that to go to the assembly as soon as possible. I don't think it's, you know, that's what I sent it last week to be, is to go to the assembly. And it wasn't in regards to it has to be for this meeting. It's just, it's a pretty timely issue that's going on here in King Cove.
Okay, any other public comments? All right, hearing none. So our next meeting date is February 12th. And we need a motion to adjourn.
I make a motion, Chris.
Thank you. Thank you, Josie. Okay, thank you, everybody.